Joining us in the studio today is Brian Ferry. Brian, good morning to you.
Morning to you.
How are you?
Very good, thanks.
Good, good. You're here, of course, ahead of the concert at Edinburgh Castle on September the 3rd. You must have played concerts in many, many different venues. How does the castle appeal to you then?
It appeals to me very much. It's a great, I've just been to have a look at it. It's a great venue and a great place to play. We've been doing lots of interesting outdoor shows this year, actually. Places in Provence, there were a couple of similar kind of, you know, historic venues down there. Then we did Vienna Opera House, which was very beautiful,
right,
but indoors. But mainly festivals this summer, so we've been all over Europe. And yeah, it's been a great tour so far.
It's great that after all these years, because it's funny, but when we're talking in the building about you coming in, you know, and they say, "Oh, Brian Ferry is a legend," and it's like, you know, the to be still enjoying what you do as well, and to be doing it in different venues after all of these years.
That,
it's you must
great.
Enjoy it as well.
I enjoy the travel, actually. And,
really?
And I'm enjoying, you know, playing the music. We've got a very interesting band, some very young people in the band, new blood, as well as some of the older guys who've been with me for years. And,
right.
So it's a very interesting show, I think, because there's quite a lot of people on stage. And we've got a couple of drummers, a couple of very good guitar players. One of them... is young Oliver Thompson, who's like a hot young player, has been with me for actually since he was 17, and he's still only 22, I think. So it's great to have that kind of energy, you know.
When the public come along then to and you know, to the concerts at Edinburgh Castle on September the 3rd, what can they get? What were they expecting from you?
Well, it's a real mix because obviously we play some things from the new album Olympia. Which came out at the end of last year, in fact, but we're doing some things from that, which are less well known, I suppose. But we do hits, you know, from both Roxy and my solo career, because I've got now quite a few albums to choose from. And you try and get a balance between songs that people know, you know, the well known hit things like Jealous Guy and Let's Stick Together and so on, Love is a Drug. But then we try and balance that with more obscure kind of maybe more musical things. You know, some of them are longer and sort of album track thing, you know, songs that maybe people don't know quite so well, but hopefully will like as well.
Right. You mentioned there the solo career, and I'm old enough to remember back in the 70s, the first solo album. That was These Foolish Things, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
That step to doing something solo-ish then, was it a hard step? It was just was it a natural one?
It was a very casual step at the time, and it seemed natural to me because I'd written the first two albums we'd done, the first two Roxy Music albums, and I thought it would be interesting to do something completely different, something which was a bit lighter in feel. And as a singer, I thought, well, it'd be nice to sing some other songs other than my own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose a dozen songs, say, of quite different things stylistically to try and cover. You know, one was a Dylan song. One was These Foolish Things, the old classic from the 30s, which is a beautiful song, but from a certain period. Then we did a Beatles song and a Stone song. It was a kind of who's who, really, of I thought interesting writers from the first part, you know, first half of the century of rock music.
It was very much, I think, an album at the time that you thought, this is for a fan getting into Brian Ferry's mind and to your favourite artists and
exactly,
your type of music, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it was quite interesting range of stuff. And also I worked with new players as well, so it was interesting to expand my horizons a bit. You know, it's great being in a band, but sometimes you feel a bit confined because you're working with the same musicians all the time.
Right.
And that can lead to beautiful things happening. On the other hand, you want to kind of, you know, expand yourself a bit. And so in the solo career, I've got to play with some incredible people, some of whom are on the latest album, like David Gilmour from The Floyd, and Nile Rodgers, who's an amazing guitar player, and he's played on a few of my albums since '84. and also Marcus Miller, who's a great kind of jazz giant, really, bass player. Very, very good. And you mix that with other people. Who else played on the latest album? Flea from the Chili Peppers, Groove Armada, Scissor Sisters, Manu from Primal Scream, Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. There's a whole gang of them, you know. And it's great to be able to pick and choose people who you really admire and get them to play with you. But it's also nice to have long-term historic associations with people as well. So also on the latest album, Phil Manzanera, Andy Mackay, and even Brian Eno, all from, you know, the original Roxy Music band.
Right.
They guested on it as well.
As far as, though, Roxy Music was concerned, you brought some wonderful music out as Roxy, all sort of different types of music. We're never quite sure what we're going to get, but never really disappointed.
The thing about Roxy, what I liked, was that we weren't trying to kind of forge one particular style. I like the idea of playing around with different styles of music, and especially on the first album, which kind of had lots of very different sounding things on it, you know. It was quite diverse, and it indicated, I guess, some of the paths we'd follow later on. So I think that even the Roxy kind of history was had quite a lot of variety in it, stylistically. And it's fun to play those songs today. You know?
Do you still remember back in 72 when Virginia Plain became a hit, and you know you're whisked on to Top of the Pops Do these memories still come back to you? When you're driving along, do you think to yourself?
Oh yeah, first day we were driving along the M1 or whatever in a van, you know, and we heard our record on the radio for the Radio 1 for the first time, and it was just like, whoa, you know, how weird. And similarly, the first time I saw our album sleeve in the shop in King's Road in Chelsea, it was like a window full of the first Roxy album image, and it was just amazing. And kind of, those are memories that always stay with
you.
You know?
Yeah. So, what surprises you now then? When you get the album, as you say, your first album, you're hearing your first song on the radio. So, what you say to yourself? Oh, no, really. Oh, that's really like that. You know.
Well, every show you do is different. Even if you're doing the same songs, there's going to be a different feeling because the audience is different every night, you know? And the audience is always a big part of the show, which is why playing in Scotland has always been great for me. We've always had a great following, both with Roxy and the solo career. So, I look forward to doing the shows, really. There were years when I didn't really tour for quite a long time and really spent much more time in the studio. But nowadays, certainly the last year or so, I've been touring quite hard, and hopefully we'll carry the tour on next year as well.
Are you enjoying that, though? Yeah. I mean, having had the years away from it?
Very much so. And having, especially with this tour, we've got such an interesting band of people, both on stage and behind the scenes. We've got some young guys, you know, working in my studio in London, which is like the HQ for everything we do. And we do our album designs there and the films for the show as well, because we have a big screen that we project images onto, bits of movies and stills and all sorts of things, which just pictures which I think complement the music. And that's been great for me to do that. Something I wanted to do for years, and we're finally doing it this year.
If you have just joined us, a very good morning to you. It's the Mid-Morning Show across Scotland. I'm Ali Bally, and with me, I'm delighted to say, is Brian Ferry, ahead of his appearance and concert at Edinburgh Castle on the 3rd of September. Must admit, looking forward to it. When you've got such a catalogue, a back catalogue, and new songs from the new album to choose from, how do you decide what to leave out, Brian?
It's very hard. I mean, There are quite a lot of songs I'd like to fit in, but normally people want the show to be about an hour and a half or something, so you've got to be quite selective. And there are certain hits that you feel obliged to play because people would be disappointed if you didn't do Jealous Guy or maybe Love Is a Drug. So they're kind of standard parts of the repertoire. And then you start, you know, juggling things around and say, well, let's put this one in from the second or third Roxy album and something from that period. Then you want to kind of represent something from the early solo albums, mm-hmm. and then from the later ones. So then there's the new album to contend with as well.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
We don't do too much of that, about three or four songs from that maybe. And because people really like to hear things they're familiar with, even if they're kind of just ones that they might have heard on an album, you know. We recently played at Kate Moss's wedding, and she requested, because she appeared on the cover of the latest album,
right?
And she was fantastic doing that, and we did a kind of book of photographs to go with the album as well. So when she asked me to sing at a wedding, which is something I've never done before, I couldn't really refuse. And surprisingly, the song she wanted was "If There Was Something," which was a pretty obscure, to me, album track from the first Roxy album.
Right.
But that was her wedding song. And then we played some more familiar things after that.
Yeah.
But that was a fun night.
I was going to say, that must be nice to put on the CV, wedding band.
Exactly.
Yes.
Finally made it to be a wedding singer.
That's right, yes.
But it's funny, because earlier that night we did a festival to show how much variety there is in the tour. You know, we did a place called the Hop Farm Festival, which is quite a big crowd in Kent.
Right.
In England, and she laid on a huge helicopter to take 16 of us up there to play after at midnight. So it was funny doing two shows in one night. Very big contrast.
And yes, indeed, from the festival to the wedding,
exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah,
and,
it was good.
And
good,
there's not many people can say that they had Brian Ferry and his band singing at their wedding either. You know, it brings to mind.
Call this number when you're getting married. They're for free.
Well, I'm getting done 6 weeks' time, you know. Just, get it down
exactly.
There. I was thinking, you know, when you were talking about first songs, I was just wondering, as a first song, was it going to be Let's Stick Together? I mean, that song to me.
That's usually the last song.
Yes.
When we do that, you know, it's time to start
time
thinking
to go.
Of the past.
Yeah. I think that song to me is, Let's Stick Together, is one of the songs that when you're doing a radio program and you've either had a rough night the night before, for me anyway, or indeed, you know, you're feeling right, and I need to really lift myself here.
Yeah.
That's the one I dig out, because
it's interesting.
Just,
yeah. People like that song. It has an energy about it that people respond to.
You know, and
it's great doing it live, because they all like, you know, getting up for that one.
Yeah, as I say, you've hit it on the nail when you said it's got an energy.
Yeah.
That's exactly, absolutely. What other songs are your favourites from your own collection? Do you have something we really enjoy singing, that one?
Well, there are a few, actually. But there's one on the tour we're doing now, which I did on the Dylan-esque album.
Right.
And I sang that one at, what was it, the Princess Diana Memorial thing at Wembley, which was a few years ago.
Mm.
And it's called Make You Feel My Love.
Right.
Which is a beautiful Bob Dylan song. Kind of quite a romantic, plaintive song, very nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have all the kind of imagery that some of his songs have, but it's a very plain, direct love song, I guess, and that always really works with audiences. They love that one,
and
I love it too.
Are you romantic yourself?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, what can we expect in the future? What's going to happen to Brian Ferry?
Well,
it's great to see him back on tour, as you say.
This year is very much a touring year, and we're just going around the world, really. Earlier this year, I was in Australia performing. That was on a Roxy tour. And then since then, we're just, as I said, going all around Europe. And after I've been to Edinburgh, I go to Moscow, Warsaw, Bucharest, Budapest, Belgrade, and then Strasbourg, I think. And then to America. We do the American tour. And then it'll soon be Christmas after that. So,
that's fantastic. Is there anywhere, Brian, in your career that you haven't been that you think to yourself?
Yes, China, mainland China. I'd like to go and do
right.
that. So maybe that's an ambition to do that.
Yeah.
But also next year we might do South America, which I don't very often go to. And
it's just good, these
new places. We played Tel Aviv a few months ago, and that was a great audience.
Yeah.
It really went down well there.
Is it just logistics-wise that you haven't been to these places yet?
Certain countries have, you know, been resistant to tours. You know, that they haven't had the infrastructure or the venues or whatever. Mm. You know, and now it's a lot of places have opened up. You know, Eastern Europe in particular, where we, you know, we have good audiences there. Mm-hmm.
Taking you back once again to your student days and the student bands in university.
Yeah, Newcastle.
Yeah. I mean, it's I remember speaking to you, excuse me, previously a while ago, and that's still very much in your mind in the student days where you would never expect.
It's a great time of your life to be being a student. Yeah. You know, it's when you leave home and for the first time maybe and start finding out who you are and what you like and you know, who your friends are and so on. And I still have friends from my student days, and they keep you in check, you know. Mm.
Yes. Yeah, remember what you were.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Was it just a sort of no real decision to take part in a student band? Was it something that was just ongoing at the time?
Well, I just before I went up to university, I played in a band during the summer prior to that, and that was in '64. And so that was my first experience of music, you know, playing live and in a band. So when I got to college, I put together another band and it went on from there. And then when I graduated of it after 4 years and went to live in London, that's when I started putting Roxy together. And that's where it all began, really.
Mm. And what do you think was the big break for Roxy? What happened that made it so? Because there were so many bands in those days, Brian, that didn't make it and who would have loved to make it. So what happened with you that you got the break?
I think we made an interesting album. It didn't sound like anything else, really. And that was it. The music kind of spoke for itself, kind of. But I looked around quite carefully for the right players to work with. And that took a while to find all these interesting characters who constituted Roxy Music. And, you know, Brian Eno and Andy Mackay, Phil Manzanera, they're all, and Paul Thompson, all characters, you know. And I like working with interesting people. Mm. And then same with finding the right manager and so on. I hawked tapes around for quite a long time. Reel to reel tapes.
I remember
the reel.
The China graph pencils.
Yeah, that's right. Until I found some people who really understood what we were doing, and that was a big help. And they put us with Island Records, which was a young label, you know. And I remember there was a guy who wrote. He was the editor of Melody Maker, Richard Williams. And I really liked his writing about music, you know, what he wrote. I tended to think he's got the same taste as me, so he's bound to like this music. So I sent it to him, and he gave us a big piece in his which was a big deal in those days.
Right.
Before we even had a record made, just our demo tapes, he wrote a big piece about them. And that was a great help as well. And John Peel, the radio DJ, he got us onto their show. Those Peel sessions are really good from '72. And yeah, it all helped really.
And it was unusual, wasn't it, not at that particular time to have a hit album before you actually had a single.
It was very unusual. Yeah. And so the album came out and it was, you know, way up in the charts, and top five. And then the record company turned to me and said, oh, it'd be great to have a proper single. And, you know, do you have anything to offer? And I said, well, I've got this song. And that was Virginia Plain, which I was kind of half finished or something. And we went and recorded that. And it was quite an incentive, you know, to get it done very quickly. And eventually that was added to the album later on for the American issue.
Right. So that was it.
And that was the turning point, really, with radio, was that song.
Right. Was there ever a thought in your mind that you were actually going to make a career out of what you went to university to do in the first place? Or were you always pushing music?
No. I thought I was going to be an artist, a painter. That's what I really wanted to do. But then music, I'd been a big fan since the age of 10, you know, really big fan of music, and started going to my first concerts really early. I mean, I saw the first rock and roll tour of Britain Bill Haley and the Comets.
Right.
And I won those two front row seats to see that on a Radio Luxembourg competition.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was, the whole street was so excited when they heard my name mentioned. They all came banging on the door. You know?
Do you want someone to go with you?
My big sister went.
Right.
And she was always lumbered with that kind of job. And so that was my first concert.
Who was on the bill then?
Bill Haley and the Comets.
Bill Haley and the Comets, fantastic.
You know, See You Later, Alligator.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The
know them well.
Yeah. And so that was, it seemed really wild at the time, but teddy boys in the audience breaking up seats. And,
yeah.
Very exciting times. Yeah.
And then from there, who else did you
then
to go
from
to
there,
see?
And then I went on to, very interested in jazz and blues. So, and I first heard this guy singing on, it was the time of the skiffle boom, where a few of these skiffle bands, they kind of popularized some blues songs, like Rock Island Nine, Lonnie Donegan,
yeah.
Which was an old Lead Belly thing. And so you started hearing for the first time the original blues singers like Lead Belly. And that really was the turning point for me, and hearing those guys and this very plaintive, kind of primitive, beautiful music and beautiful singing, you know, very heartfelt. Mm. And that made me want to be listening to more and more of it and explore it, you know. So I started became a real fan, really, of that. And that led into jazz and people like Billie Holiday, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis. And I found that really an exciting world. And nobody I knew at school, you know, was into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I had my own little world, you know,
right.
Esoteric world of music. But it grew on from there, really.
It was very much, though, a creative path you were taking, wasn't it? Because you were moving from painting to, indeed, creating music.
Yeah, it's not so different in some ways. I mean, it's just expressing yourself, but obviously in a different form. But when we did make the first record, I was anxious to use my kind of any visual talents I had, you know, to try and get very involved in the album design and that kind of thing.
Right.
So we did all that. We did all these album covers, and we did them really as kind of, you know, very glamorous pin-up shots. And it became an interesting series, really. And it created a kind of image for the band, which was quite a kind of resonant one, I think.
Right. And still, do you get the old brushes out in the easel? Are you still...
The easel has not been used for a very long time. But but I still, you know, love doing all the art directing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure being able to sit and chat to you and hear some of the music as well that we'll hear Edinburgh Castle on the 3rd of September.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And I can assure you there are many around this building that are looking forward to it as well. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you for popping in today for a chat, and enjoy Edinburgh Castle.
Great, thank you.